The Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Bob Hawke, is in Launceston today. He'll then be travelling down to Hobart in the afternoon. We have him on the line. Mr. Hawke, good morning.
Morning, Patrick.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
When did you get into Tassie?
Fairly late last night into Launceston.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Hawke, a lot of people in the Northwest are quite disappointed that we didn't get to see you on this part of the state during the election campaign.
Well, I'm disappointed too. Patrick, I had the responsibility of covering the whole of Australia, and I made a couple of visits to Tasmania. I couldn't really get any further than Launceston and Hobart, but I give you the undertaking that reasonably early in the life of the third Hawke Labor government, we'll be up into your area.
Good. Well, hopefully we might get to see you, might even get you on air to speak to some of our listeners.
I'd love to do that, Patrick.
All right, good. Mr. Hawke, can we turn back the hands of time? The 83 election, you made a promise for the Wynyard Airport to be upgraded to medium jet standard. What happened to that promise?
Well, let's get it straight about what happened there. I met with delegations of the people in the area, and we said that what we would be able to do in regard to the airport there would be looked at in the context of the whole of our responsibilities for airports in this state and elsewhere, plus looking at it in terms of the way decisions were made by the state government in regard to how they used the dam compensation money. And I've just been saying to some people here in Launceston that I think that the people of Tasmania may be asking some questions about the priorities of the state premier and where he's allocating money. I mean, I was fascinated to arrive down here and find out that he's just found $3 million to talk about some Antarctic centre in Hobart.
Well, yesterday I spoke with the Treasury Department. They tell me that $3 million is coming from capital expenditure.
Well, they can tell you it's coming from capital expenditure. All I'm saying, it's $3 million, which the Premier has decided is available for that purpose. Now, I'm not knocking the concept of Tasmania's interest in Antarctic matters. On the contrary, I have specifically had a proposal put to me by the Labor Party about the possibility of, referred to as ANTEC, the concept of whether we may be able to develop here in Tasmania a particular area of industrial activity which would concentrate on the Antarctic area to develop a specialised capacity here.
Well, would you
say it's relevant and important that Tasmania should be concerned about the Antarctic, but I'm simply making a general point. You talk about the airdrome there. What people have to understand, and the message I put around Australia consistently, Patrick, before the election, money doesn't grow on trees. It's the taxpayers' money.
But what about the undertaking you gave to upgrade the airport?
Well, I also made it clear that in regard to anything that governments can do in this country, where you were looking at it in 1983 or 84, you've got to take account in the subsequent period of the fact that we lost $9 billion. I mean, if you've got wiped off your national economic capacity, you just don't say, oh, well, no, of course it didn't happen. We will proceed and do everything we thought before that we could do. If you want a certain prescription for bankruptcy, that's it. And it's not a prescription that I was prepared to follow for Australia. And it's obviously a judgment which the Australian people endorsed.
Yeah. Mr. Hawke, do you think you're coming back to Tasmania, taking more interest into the state?
I'm sorry?
Do you think you're coming back to Tasmania now, taking more interest in what's happening here?
Do I think I'm doing it?
Well, are you taking more interest in Tasmania now?
I am. I said during the election campaign, Patrick, that if you look at the history of Tasmania, it's traditionally been a Labor state, federally and state. And I believe that Tasmania is now on the path of returning to the fold of Labor. And I certainly want to do all that I can to encourage that, because if you look at the performance of state government, it's the tragedy and the obvious and unavoidable conclusion is that the two states which are doing worst, the whole of Australia, are Tasmania and Queensland. And that's because you have state governments which are following inappropriate policies. They are confrontationist in their approach. They don't seek to harness the resources of the state by talking with and getting the best out of business and the trade unions, and it's paying up in the latest figures out yesterday. Unemployment. You've got the worst picture in Tasmania and Queensland. Tasmania worst, 9.7. Queensland, 9.6. And that's no accident.
Yeah. Mr. Hawke, are you saying then that if Mr. Robin Gray took a different approach to, we might have got more money from the government?
No, I'm saying that in fact, Tasmania, despite Mr. Gray, did very well. I went out of my way to give cushioning money to Tasmania over and above what the formula, the Commonwealth Grants Commission formula, would have given. Mr. Gray doesn't make it easy by his approach, by his confrontationist approach, but I don't lead a government in Canberra which makes decisions on the basis of whether we are going to be put off by the antics of a Gray or a Jelky Peterson. We look at the people, and in that sense, we did more for Tasmania than was required under the formula, but they don't get good representation when you adopt the approach of, as these two do, of saying, look, Tasmania and Queensland are not really part of Tasmania, we're different. The unfortunate thing is that after a fairly long period of government, they are making Tasmania and Queensland different. If you look at the, it doesn't matter what statistic you look at, you have the worst unemployment figures, the worst employment growth figures, you have the worst CPI figures, motor vehicle registrations, dwelling approvals, the decline far more than the national average. Their policies are not good policies. Now, why is it that Queensland and Tasmania are so consistently bad? Is it just a coincidence?
Well, I would assume that the Premier would argue that a lot of money has been cut from Tasmania.
That's part of the problem, that the Premier of Tasmania won't address the problems honestly. If he's going to say that money's been cut from Tasmania, you might ask him this question. Why did he sit mute and silent during the federal election campaign? Why was he a partner in conspiracy with Mr. Howard in agreeing to cutting a further $100 million? That's what he was doing. Mr. Gray has made himself now a hostage to the policies of the federal Conservatives, which would have had another $100 million slashed off this state.
Yeah. Well, we have lost $275 million since May 1985.
Yeah, and you have done that in a way which means that, in fact, because of my approach in Canberra, you've done relatively better than what was recommended to the governments of Australia by the Independent Commonwealth Grants Commission. Yeah. If I just accepted their recommendations and not on my own volition said, no, we can't just allow it to happen like that, and hadn't given the cushioning money, you would have been worse off.
Mr. Hawke, do you still stand by your comments from last year that you bloody Tasmanians have had it good for far too long?
What comments are these?
Well, it was quoted, it was front page.
Now, listen, Patrick, if you get into the business of just relying on what's quoted in papers, you're going down a very dangerous path.
Did you never make those comments?
I have never said that you bloody Tasmanians have had it far too good for too long. I don't know where you get this one from. I mean,
it was front page of the papers of Tasmania.
No, everything that appears in the paper is correct, is it, Patrick?
Well, I don't believe everything we must.
What if I get someone to put it in the paper tomorrow that you're a child molester? And if it appears, does that make you a child molester?
Well, I'd take out court action against
you. Yeah, of course you would, but it would be in the paper. You're operating on the basis that it's in the paper, it must be right.
All right, well, I'm asking you, is it true or not?
Well, you've heard the answer to that, haven't you?
You never said that.
Patrick, I don't know how long we're going to go on, my dear friend. I mean, I operate on the basis that when I've said something in answer, I've said it once. How many times do you want it? Four times?
All right, well, let's talk about the logging inquiry. The Minister for Forests in Tasmania, Ray Grew, met with Mr. Kerin yesterday. Tasmania is not cooperating with the inquiry. Are you concerned about that?
Well, of course I'm concerned about it. It goes back to what we were talking about before, my dear friend. It's typical of the approach of the Tasmanian government. Every other state in this country, apart from Queensland, operates on the basis that they are governing for the interest of their people, and that there are three levels of government in this country. For better or for worse, there are three levels of government. There's the federal, there's the state, and there's local government. And all the other states say, now, what we should do is to cooperate and see that we can get the best result for the people. Now, what Mr. Gray and Sir Joe do is say, no, we're going to operate as though there's not a federal government. We're not going to cooperate. Well, it doesn't work.
All right. When this inquiry is completed, will you accept it as it is? Or will you have more talks with representatives of the forest industry, the conservation?
Well, what we've said is that we set up an inquiry on the basis that you've really got two different positions being put. You've got the state government and the forest industry saying that there are no alternative viable resources other than those in these sensitive areas. Others, including the conservationists, say, no, that's not true. And so what we've said is, well, you've got two sort of diametrically opposed views. We want to have an inquiry which will address itself to this issue. And once we get that report, our predisposition, of course, is to accept the report. We're just not going to say carte blanche that every single line in it, you'd then haven't got any duty as a government to look at it. Of course you've got a duty to look at it, but we want to try and get that issue settled. And I would hope that both sides, if I can put it that way, will adopt a responsible attitude to the findings of the Commission of Inquiry.
Yeah. Mr. Hawke, there's been some very significant and resourceful mineral deposits discovered in the National Estate in the southwest. Would you support future mining in Tasmania in that area?
Well, what you've got to understand that this is essentially a position where the mining activity in those areas to which you refer come under the operations of state legislation. That area, that conservation area, is not an area which has been proclaimed under federal legislation. It's proclaimed under state legislation. And as I understand it, there are very strict environmental guidelines that operate. So it's not on my plate at the moment. It's a question for the state.
Yeah, well, it's in the national parks.
It's in the conservation area. It's not in the World Heritage area.
No, that's right, yeah. What about the ID card? There seems to be increased activity in opposition to the ID card. A lot of pressure groups are advertising, seeking financial support.
It seems to me, my dear friend, that you operate on the basis that the realities of politics are to be measured by whether you get some people making some noise. That means that's the position of the Australian people. Let me make it quite clear to you that all the research shows and continues to show that a clear majority of the Australian people support the ID card. It was an issue in the federal election and it is clearly supported by the great majority of Australian people, and that is not surprising because the only people who have anything to fear from the ID card are the tax cheats and the welfare frauds. And when it's in operation, fully in operation, it will bring in some $900 million to the revenues of the people of Australia. And I look back and I think of all the noise that was made about the assets test. I look back and I think about all the noise that was made about the fringe benefits test. But it's distinct from the way you seem to. And I
all right.
Notice
well,
with disrespect,
all right.
You operate on the basis that people make some noise. I operate on the basis, Patrick, that I've got to do what's best for the people of Australia. Always, when you bring in something that's going to be for the benefit of the majority, you'll find some minority group will make a noise.
Okay, what about if the noise is being made by Frank Costigan, who's questioning the effectiveness of the ID card in combating fraud?
Well, have you just heard of that? Patrick, you do surprise me. Have you just discovered that Mr. Costigan's making that noise? He's been making it for a very long time.
Well, I'm asking for your opinion on his comments.
I haven't that opinion. Patrick, don't you understand that Mr. Costigan has been saying that for some time? And I formed my opinion. The judgment's formed its opinion in a context of information which has included the long-standing position of Mr. Costigan. Are you expecting me to now say, oh, well, Patrick may have just discovered Mr. Costigan, so I'm just supposed to have discovered him? I knew Mr. Costigan's position before. I mean, what's new?
Well, Mr. Hawke, I'll tell you what's new.
Why now have to take account of Mr. Costigan when he's been saying it for such a long time?
No, what's new, Mr. Hawke, is that this is the first opportunity we've had to talk to in 2 years.
It may be the first opportunity you've had to talk to me for 2 years, Patrick. I'm not sure about that.
Well, I can give you an assurance on that.
Talk to me now. Why don't we talk about something that's relatively new and not...
All right, okay. Let's talk about the takeover of East West Airlines. Do you think that might create a monopoly in Tasmania?
Well, it's hard for or to create a monopoly in Tasmania. I didn't know that Australian Airlines had been taken over.
East-West Airlines, I said.
No, but you said, would that create a monopoly in Tasmania?
Yeah.
Can you have a monopoly when you've got another airline operating? The definition of monopoly, Patrick, is where you only have one.
Yeah, well,
and
we...
you'll have Australia Airlines. That makes two.
Okay, well, we only have in Wynyard Airport, Ansett and East-West operating, so therefore we would have a monopoly, wouldn't we?
Well, you're talking about Tasmania. You said Tasmania. You're now defining Tasmania as Wynyard.
I'm giving you an example of where a monopoly could occur, Patrick, in Tasmania.
Patrick, look, just let's be logical. You put the question to me. Will you have a monopoly in Tasmania? You didn't say Wynyard. Will you have a monopoly in Tasmania because East-West has been taken over? I answer your question on the basis that you will have two airlines that therefore not a monopoly. And then you switch to Wynyard. Now, what is your question?
My question is, is there the chance of having a monopoly at Wynyard Airport?
Well, I wouldn't think you'd see that, because what's happening is that the proposal in regard to East-West is being examined by the Trade Practices Commission. Now, the Trade Practices Commission will examine all these issues. That's why we have a Trade Practices Commission.
Yeah. All right. Can we talk about the September budget? What can we expect?
Yes, you can talk about the September budget, Patrick, but, I mean, I'm not in a position where I'm going to say in advance what will be in the budget, for the simple reason that at this stage I don't know. But what I can say in broad terms is that I said to the people of Australia in the federal election that the major budgetary work was done in the May statement. There are not going to be any new massive expenditure cuts in areas of services to people generally. We will continue. We can come to the people now on the basis that we have been in government since 83. We've successively reduced the budget deficit from the nearly $10 billion that we inherited from Mr. Howard,
mm-hmm.
Down now to under $3 billion. About $2.7 billion. We'll continue that process of reducing the deficit and at the same time keeping employment growth going. In this last 12 months now, we've had an additional 200,000 jobs in Australia, so we'll keep that sort of general macroeconomic policy going.
All right. Mr. Hawke, a lot of people are concerned about telecom, specifically as far as pensioners are concerned, because of the price rises that occurred some time ago, whereby the cheapest rate is after 10 o'clock. Would you be concerned about that for the elderly people, the pensioners?
Well, talk about concern for the pensioner. Just let me put the concern for the pensioner in the aggregate terms. Since I've been in government, we've increased the real value of the pension by 8%. That's the purchasing power of the pension has been increased by 8% since we've been in office. Under the Conservatives, it was cut by 2%. So that's the... when you talk about one particular thing, telecom service, if you're talking about impact on pensioners, you've got to look at the relationship between their pension and what happens to prices generally. And overall, that's what we've done, a real increase of 8%, a cut of 2% under the Conservatives. So that's my answer to the question.
Yeah, I was just a bit concerned maybe if we were to ring up our grandmother or an aunt, having to wait till after 10 o'clock to ring them up, or them having to wait till after 10 o'clock to ring us up.
Yeah, well, if you've got to go back to what I was saying before, that is that we've got to make a whole range of decisions, Patrick, covering telecom, covering roads, covering education, the whole range of services that are made available by government to people, which is merely rearranging, if you like, people's taxes into services to people that the community as a whole provides to people that they can't provide for themselves.
Yeah.
Now, within the discharge of that responsibility, there are going to be some things that are welcome, some things that are not so welcome. I simply say you don't get anywhere just picking out one thing. If you want to look at pensioners, then the thing to do is to say, all right, and you're talking about charges or other sorts of things, I simply say to you, all right, taking the thing in aggregate, pensioners 8% better off in purchasing power under us as against the Conservatives, they cut them by 2%.
Mm.
Now, that's the overall position in regard to pensioners, and the stark contrast that people can make between the concern of Labor for pensioners and the lack of concern of the Conservatives.
Yeah. Mr. Hook, this is a question on behalf of some listeners in reference to the Carlton Walsh report the other night, which showed you on holidays without a life jacket, and some people were concerned for your safety.
I'm very grateful that people are concerned for my safety. There was no requirement, as I understand it, under the West Australian laws that I had to be wearing a life jacket when I was fishing. It was certainly no requirement there. And
I don't even think they were thinking about the law. They were thinking about your personal safety, that's all.
Well, I'm a strong swimmer, and it was a very strong boat, and surrounded by a number of friends, I would have been, I think I would have been all right, Patrick. And
good.
I tell you, I was in such fine physical form because my muscles were getting stronger and stronger as I was pulling all those big fish, Patrick.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that was it, mate.
All right. Mr. Hawke, the Apex clubs around Tasmania are... The Apex clubs around Tasmania are moving to try and purchase life education centres.
Oh, yes.
Would you give them support?
Oh, look, I can't speak strongly enough about the life education centres, Patrick. A marvellous concept. Ted Knopf's, the Reverend Ted Knopf's, has done a magnificent job there, and they deserve all the support they possibly can get. I'll tell you what I have done there. Under the... the program that we have, the National Drug Offensive, that we started in collaboration with the Premiers. We, in New South Wales, we have there a situation where the state government is supporting the Life Education Centre program there. I've written to all state Premiers recommending that they should follow suit because I think it's the most effective concept I've seen of trying to get to our young people as early as possible and educate them about the danger of drugs. So I congratulate Apex for the support it's giving, and I say to all your listeners that they should give every support they possibly can.
Yes, in fact, the Apex clubs are meeting with the Premier, I think, on the 17th of this month, and I think they might be making some approaches to get some money from the government, from your government as well.
Well, we've put an enormous amount of money already into the program, and we've indicated to into the drug program, and we've indicated to the states that we think that this particular concept, as I say, is one which is there's no better program in our judgment. Patrick, I've got to get going.
Well, we were just going to wrap it up anyway.
Yep.
Mr. Hawke, it's been good to talk to you. I look forward to maybe some future chats. Maybe we'll see you on the Northwest in our studios.
I'd like to do that, Patrick. So right. Thanks to you and thanks to all your listeners.
All right, good to talk to you. Thanks,
good.
Mr. Hawke.
Okay, bye-bye.
The Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Bob Hawke, in Launceston. He's moving down to Hobart later this afternoon. He'll be at the Northgate Shopping Centre at Glenorchy this afternoon at 4:30. He'll be inspecting a display by the Antarctic Division. Then he'll be speaking direct to the officer in charge at the Davis Station, Antarctica, by a satellite phone link.